bless it. Amen.
Take your Bible this morning, Exodus chapter 20. And I'm sure as you're turning up, many of you will realize that these are the scriptures that we get our Ten Commandments from. And I want to speak to you this morning. Will you, for just a few moments, bear with me as I speak on the subject on the holy God that should only be worshipped and served. From the beginning of time, God Almighty demands that all His creation were to worship Him and Him only. There was no question about that. He made that statement very clear. And to me, that's a given. That's the only right thing to expect, since He is the creator of everything that ever existed. And why should not we give honor to that who has created us? We have nothing to do with it. That's why the Bible tells us in the scriptures that honor thy father and thy mother. We have nothing to do with it. It was a choice of our mother and father to have a child. And therefore, we should be very careful about that. Now, I see my sister put her coat on, so I need to have you turn that cooler on. I know she's got her coat on. She knows I'm going to do that because it is hot in here. How many is hot? How many just not so hot Christians? Yeah, that's what I thought. Amen. Now, the sermon I'm going to preach today, I promise you there will be a lot of disturbance. I'm going to speak on Satan. And I'm going to talk about what he has done in his life these years to literally turn inside out all of creation. He tried everything he can. And he knows his time is short. And since an angel knows his time is short, he's going to try everything he can to destroy and to take away all that is good. And so it behooves me to remind the Church of God this morning that it's important for us to understand the weary things of the devil. He's wily. He's terrible. He's destructive. He does not want anything to do good, and he's trying everything he can. So I want you to know that it is our responsibility to be very careful. It's also our responsibility to know these things, not to be surprised about these things. As you well remember, the account of the first sin and all that when the created angel Satan raised his filthy head, proclaimed that he was something when he was nothing more than a created being, yet he desired to be like God. He was nothing. He was only a created being by God. Lucifer was created, and the Bible talks about him in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, that he was called the son of the morning. He was given the most exalted responsibility as a special angel, both by creation and by appointment of the Holy Creator. According to scriptures, he occupied a place next to the persons of the Godhead. Now, listen now, and don't miss this. I want you to listen very carefully. By his sin, he has the first in the universe to sin. Therefore, God Almighty calls him Satan. And if you would make a study of his name, you'd find that there's over 40 different titles for his name given in the Bible, explaining his evil, his treachery, his blatant and violence that he is. The first sin of the first angel was self-assertion against God, wanting to be held with admiration of his own act of betrayal of honor. He wanted people to think he's something. I don't know about you, but I know that most of us have that problem. All of us want people to think better than we really are. Would you say amen to that, or oh me, one or the other? I'd say oh me. The first sin of that first angel was self-assertion. It was no less subordination unto God, and his dependency on God Almighty was drowned in his conceit. His self-importance assumed self-direction. He thought, hey, I'm important, I'll seek my own direction. How many of us do that? Well, we learned it from the father of lies. But the Creator has a purpose and a purpose will for all of His divine creation, in that He gives us His authority and His guide to help us in that. We are reminded about that kind of sin, about the Apostle Paul, who alluded to it when he wrote about young men who would be that need to be very careful when they went into the ministry as novices into matters of church order. Listen to his, become a pastor. Listen to what he is warning. Lest being lifted up in pride, he fall into the condemnation. The word condemnation means crime of the devil. So when a young man takes the position of a pastor, and maybe he's just saved for a couple of years, or he's a young man, he has no idea about the great responsibility that really carries that office. He says, you better be careful, lest you be lifted up in your pride. I know one missionary, we had a young missionary in our church that all of a sudden he went around different churches. And boy, oh boy, a lot of churches liked him. He's a good guy. And all of a sudden he became too big for his own britches. And thought he even told me, he said, well, Pastor, I preach in bigger churches, you preach. What the stupidity about it is I'm the one that told the pastor to have that man into his church. It wasn't because of him, it was because of me. See, a lot of people get that impression that, oh, look at me, I'm so honored, I'm so big shot. No, we're not, we're all. Last night, I went out on my porch at 2 o'clock in the morning. I walked out in my grass, and I looked up to heaven, and I said, oh God, I need you so great. I'm nothing. Lord, I'm about to preach for you tomorrow. I'm about to take this sacred pulpit and bring the Word of God in. Lord God, I need your help. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever put yourself higher than other people. We're to be servant leaders. Unfortunately, we have to be leaders, but we should be in the servant leadership. We should be willing to serve God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Does it amaze you the nature of the first sin is so prevalent today? Solomon wrote, there's nothing new under the sun. Mankind sins and is still their unwillingness to worship the holy God, creator of heaven and earth, and you see it all the time. Do you ever wonder why Satan would want to do that? He already was one of the greatest angels. Why would he want to go against the God of infinite wisdom? To depart from the course, that course, the angelic, it was just plain insanity. Sin is no place in the constitution of the status of an angel. Its presence is lawlessness and void of reason. Man of the greatest minds have approached the problem of this question, which the first sin presents, but no one is able to grasp it. It just keeps blowing their mind. Whenever truth is suggested, none is sufficient. When they say, why did he sin? And the greatest minds wrote that. Sin has always been a contradiction of reason and irrational, and is no subject of reason. Sin is like that. There's no rational. Why would you do that? And you know, all right, for instance, you have a little child, and you say, don't do that. Explain to me their rationality of doing that. They know that daddy is a lot bigger than them, and he can sit on them. They know that their mother can withhold food from them. But they go ahead and do it anyway. Explain to me why. If we knew why, we could make millions of dollars and put a lot of child psychiatrists out of business. Why would you do that? A couple of weeks ago, I received a letter from there were three children that came out here. They're 11 and 12 years old, and they broke $1,800 and some worth of glass in our buses. Through all of this, the court services have the children write letters to the victims. I received another letter the other day, and it said, I do not know why I did that. Proof! in the pudding is in the eating. Why did I do that? I don't know. He said, I hope that you'll let me be your friend someday. I'm going to write him a letter and say, son, you always are my friend. And I thank you for writing such a nice note to the church. It is quite possible, though, that the irrational character accustomed to unholy ways may lend sympathetic understanding to the insanity which a fellow creature exhibits, but that provides no reason which might serve as an explanation of the unfallen angel's sin. The creature, whether angel or human, was created to be God-centered. The reason most of us are in trouble today is because we forget that we were created in God's image to be in His center of His will to do what He wants, not what I want. The falsification of God's moral order is when self-centeredness is completed. This is what I do. This is how I feel. This is what I want. I want to gratify me. I don't give a rip about anybody else. As long as I'm taken care of, I'm cool. Guess who you're acting like? Your father, the devil. I've read over this thing, and man, it just scares the bejeebers out of me. I'm studying this, and I'm saying, good night. Here's another place that I fail. Here's another place that I fail. And pretty much all of it fails when I become off-centered and self-centered. The center should be God. I think for the most of my life, I have been self-centered, thinking everything circles around me. I am the husband, so I am the ruler of my castle. And my wife told me I could say that. But anyway, it is also found to be the violation of an original design, relative and interrelationship between finite being themselves. I cannot be myself. I'm born again. I've accepted Christ. I'm a child of the King. I no longer can think about what I want and what will help me and what will bless me. It's that I am to think what blesses Him. By the way, that's why we were created. We were created to glorify our Heavenly Father, not glorify us. Oh, if I do this, I'll really look good. If I say this, I'll really sound good. If I do this and do that, and people will really think about it. No. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. We are to be not self-centered, but God-centered. Once in a while, you may drive down the road and all of a sudden your car starts going like this. How many of us had happened? And you take it to Big O or wherever and say, I don't know what's going on, but I've got a tremendous vibration. Years ago, I was in the pastorate and I was pretty broke. And I was driving on what they call baloney skins. Y'all know what baloney skin tires are? Yeah, amen. And you can do it in the summer, but in the winter it's not very good. Driving down the road, and a highway patrolman pulled me over. He said, good night, man. He says, do you know what's going on with your tire up front there? I says, I got a little vibration. He says, it's almost jumping off the ground. Well, I took it over to my friend, and guess what he did? He put a piece of lead weight on it. And guess what? Took care of my vibration. The tire had got off center. That's what we are in our Christian life. You wonder why you have so much vibration in your life? You wonder why you're having so much trouble in your life? I will tell you why. Because you have become off-center. You've got away from God. You think that your plan is more important. You think that your things that you do are more important than God tells you what to do, what to say. I had somebody tell me last week, he said, well, Pastor, I need to get alone by myself and get this thing straightened. And I haven't told her yet, but I'm going to tell her this week, You don't need to be away from the church of God. You need to be in the church of God because that's where God said you're to be. Amen. Well, I'm having problems. Number 23. Anyway, that's when you're to get into church. I've told you this and told you this before many times. When my mother passed away, they had the viewing for my mother on Sunday night. My mother would have corkscrewed out of the grave if she found that out. We never missed church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Bible evangelism and Bible studies and evangelistic meetings and whatever. Brother, you were at church. You never missed. And my sister said to me, Sheldon, you know that the visitation tonight is it starts at 6 o'clock. I says, it does? She says, yes. I said, well, I'll be at church. And she pitched a fuss. She said, what? You know, what are people going to think? You're not even there. You're a son. You're a son. I said, hon, I said, when church is over, I'll be there. Let me tell you something, Pastor Commander. I needed church that night. I had just lost the most important thing in my life, and that was my mother. The one who prayed for me, the one that encouraged me, the one that beat me so many times, and she many times she should have beaten me that I didn't get a beat. But she was a godly lady. I never was beat wrong. I was beat right. To beat the wrong, I don't get the right in there, amen. And I went to church that night, and the pastor was talking to somebody. He saw me coming up to me. He says, Sheldon, he said, he put his arm on my shoulder. He said, I just want you to know. He says, I prepared this sermon just for you tonight. What if I wouldn't have been there? Number one, I would have disappointed my pastor. I would have disappointed the man of God. I disappointed the leader of that local church. Hey, tell that to Grandma. Well, kids, all right, come over Sunday night after church. We're going to have a big supper. I've got chicken and dumplings and all the goodies and baked bread and everything. And right after church, come on over. And you don't show up. Tell me what Grandma thinks about that. Well, just call me Grandma because that's what I feel when you're not here. Amen? We get so self-centered and so thoughtless of what's going on in our life. Hey, God says, get in church. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves of the manner of some is, as you see the day approaching. You just raised your hand and thought that the world is getting crazy and the Lord's coming back soon, didn't you? Well, the Bible says as the day approaches, that means you should be in church. Don't miss a time. All right, I'm done with that. All right, it just cost you a quarter after you leave church. Amen. To become self-centered is a contradiction of the basic law of created that we were created for. The falsification of God's moral order when self-centered is incomplete. It is also found to be a violation of the original design relative to the interrelationship between finite and infinite. Sin is not in God, as it is not any part of His original creation. Sin is self-centered living. Sin is an action on the part of a creature who is by creation designed wholly to be centered by God. And when you become off-centered, you do what? Christians everywhere are misinformed about the devices. Few indeed would knowingly march under Satan's banner, but they do. Yet we see that there are but a few that do not, to some degree, give allegiance to him unknowingly. Since the whole truth regarding angels is strangely unreal to human minds, it is perhaps somewhat to be expected there will be a little actuality in the thinking of many people concerning Satan and the demons. There is a spiritual world out there, and it's real. Even many Christians just blow it off and say, well, it's just bad luck, or they revert to some mystic religion and say, well, he had it coming to him because it's karma. That is not in God's plan, folks. However, for a Christian to limit his mind on these real threats, he has no excuse for open denial of revelation, for these revelations, for they are both clear and extensive, spoke of in the Scriptures, and we're commanded to be found faithful to study the Word of God. We're to study to show ourselves faithful. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We're to know the Scriptures, so they can guide us in our human souls. Next to knowing the triune God and the positive values of redeeming grace, we should also be capable of knowing the truths relative to a vital enemy. As the Scripture teaches us, Peter says, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy everything around you, because when he does, you become ineffective. He wants to bump your scope. He wants to poison your food. He wants you to draw attention to yourself and not to the Almighty God. Here's something very interesting. Our Christians' conflict and our trials are wholly accounted within three relative ideas in this world. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are the three things we deal with all the time. But this mighty enemy is the god of this world. He's the evil nature which dominates the flesh and was born in Satan's lie. In the Garden of Eden, he is himself a living contender against the believer, not alone the spirit of flesh and blood, but the realm of spiritual life and activity. The text of Scripture is observed and will be found that the greatest foe is held before the Christian contemplation next only to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Should the knowledge of this foe be wanting, as it must be, so far as theological studies concern, the result can be no less than tragic and reaching on to eternity. If we miss the commands of the Word of God, said that we should know Him and be careful of Him and keep from Him, we just keep falling into it. Because we are not prepared for the trouble that's coming at us. And by the way, trouble doesn't stop after you're about 50. Trouble doesn't stop when you finally reach the grand age of 60. Nor 70. Nor 80. My dear friend, Dr. Jack Iles, years ago, we were meeting with him, about 11 preachers and I were sitting around the table with him. We just had dinner and we were speaking to him. And he said, gentlemen, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, for years, as a pastor, I had tried to make a study of all the troubles that happened to a pastor in a church. And he says, what I've done is when I see a trouble or something, I seek God's help, seek God's wisdom, and I take out a pen and a pad of paper and I write down, this is the problem, this is what happened, this is how I took care of that. And he said, I thought when I got to be about 50 that I had a list of things that would happen in the ministry that I could just go back and target that area and say, well, this is what I did before, I'll just keep doing it again. Amen? But he said, I have found, and this is what scared the willies out of me. He said, I have found. He said, I'm about 70 now. I have found that every week in my life in the ministry, something new Satan possesses, pushes in my face that I have to deal with, and I have to go and fall on my face before a holy God and beg Him and go to the Scriptures and find how I can get out of this mess that I'm in or somebody else is in. That was discouraging to me. Sorry. I hate to be stirred into you, but I'm going to tell you something. If you understand that, you know that the trouble and sorrows are going to continue to come on upon you all the time. That's why Hebrews said that we ought to be careful of the things that so easily beset us. There's certain things in our life. There's certain things in my life that would never bother Bob. That doesn't have anything to do with his life. But I'll guarantee you, there's some things that happen in his life that wouldn't bother me. So all of us need to go to the Scripture where the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It is our responsibility to stay in the book. Stay on our knees. Praying and begging God that God would give us liberty and give us information how that we can deal with the things and troubles in this life. By the way, you are going to go through troubles in this life. How many of you this week went through some kind of trouble that you thought you'd never get out of? Would you raise your hand? I've got my hand up. You know what? Guess what? Today is Sunday, the first day of the week, and it's just about starting again. Yeehaw! Remember that old saying, thank God it's Friday? Does that mean you got home? Maybe you got paid? Whew! Go home, write your check out to the church for your tithe for Sunday. And you got a little bit of extra left, and you're going down and you're going to the Kmart or Walmart or Fall Apart or wherever you're going to get it, amen. And you spend the rest of it, and you're hoping for another Friday, amen. Don't think that these things are superstition when attention has been given to such extended and explicit revelation that when this portion of Scripture should be read, it is natural and literal meaning. Satan is real. He's not just a boogeyman. He is real. And he wants to destroy you. And he wants to wreck you. He wants to take away your happiness. He wants to take away your smile. He wants to take away your health. He wants to take everything he can to make you miserable. So you understand saying that? And there's certain times in our life they say, well, devil made me do that. You liar. You just want to do it, and you did it, and you just argued that God did it. I mean, that Satan made you do it. Satan can't make you do anything. Especially if you're born again. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. You make a vital choice. I choose to sin. I slip. I guarantee you, next time you're about to sin, you remember the preacher said, you know what? You're going to think about that and you're going to make a conscious decision whether you do it or not. Hey, you know what? I got 70 years on some of you people, and I'm telling you what, that happens to me all the time. This is where the unscriptural and the fanatical notions are easily engendered in relative to evil spirits among those less instructed in the Word of God. But so much the more is imperative that we should take care of and exercise and to conform to that which is revealed to us in the Scripture. I need to exercise myself in the Scriptures so I can conform to God and His will, because it's not about me. Would somebody say amen? I make a choice. And boy, I'll tell you what, I made some terrible choices in my life. And so have you. I talked to a family the other day, and they made some stupid, ignorant, foolish choices. And by the way, their pastor had informed them not to do certain things and not to go certain ways. It wasn't what I felt, it's what the Bible said. Thus saith the Lord God. No, you should not do that. Now they'll pay. They'll pay the rest of their life. They'll pay the rest of their life. The heathen have ever been tormented and tortured by the unformed imagination, this presence of the influence of evil spirits. And when they are introduced to Jesus Christ, with great gratitude become Christians when they're able to view it clear in Revelation the peace that God gives them. I've been in Dominican Republic. Dominican Republic is full of voodoo. Full of it. I've been up in the jungles of Dominican Republic and see some things that should not be seen. And all it is satanic worship. Talk to Corey. Over in Nepal. Go to Dubois Square. See the people burning their little, what do you call that? They burn, they puja. The incense burn their engines and they bring out their rice and they bring out all kinds of stuff. And they do that because they're afraid that the evil spirits will work magic on them. And do things about it. By the way, they will. It's real. Go with me to Africa. And go along a trail. And see a chicken propped up. And some rice. Some vegetables. And they offer that so the evil spirits would not come into their house. Go down to the Navajo. And go to their hogans and their worship of the spirits. Go to the Blackfeet Indian. And the worship to the sun. Hey folks, there's a real demonic spirit filled demons that are causing... But I'm going to tell you something. If you read the Scriptures and understand that God will save your wicked soul and bring you to heaven someday, that's why these folks that the Word of God brought to them, they were so excited that the great gratitude because God had delivered them from this great torment and pillage. Thinking the people over in India and thinking the people in Nepal that could eat. But no, they got to keep their sacred holy cows. I've been in the markets and these cows walk down and defecate on the ground and they come right over to the market, the vegetable market, and eat right off there. I mean, good night. If that happened in my house, my dad'd haul off and whack them, man. But, oh, you don't want to do that. You go to jail for that. Foolishness. In the end, as from the beginning, God is all. Satan proclaimed, I will ascend into heaven. That's the first aspect of Satan's sin. He apparently proposed to take up the abode in the third, the highest heaven where God and the redeemed abide. To abode with the angels evidently on a lower plane for the when returning to the highest of heaven resurrection, Christ said that he was seated far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. I hope to God that you get to the point in your life that you realize that it is God who we worship and not these spirits. It is God who we worship and in the name of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we reprove those things that are going on in Jesus' name. And we'd be very careful as Christians that we would realize that there's a God in heaven that loves you so much. God is the one to protect us during this time and the heartaches and sorrows of life. Some of you have been very close to that kind of stuff. And I'll tell you what, the hair on the back of your neck stands up. And you know that there's evil. Last week, down in Three Forks, Montana, of all evils that took place, where two men took the life, assassinated a police officer. shot him with a big rifle. And then pulled him out of the vehicle and shot him again and assassinated him. If that doesn't make you incensed and mad. But I'm okay, that's just pure evil. They say in the news, it said that they were just looking for a law officer. They didn't care who it was. By the way, you can thank God that deputy was a Christian. He had twins and another child. Leads a beautiful wife, godly family. I hope you pray for the family. Tuesday's a funeral. But that's evil. That's just downright evil. The things that are happening in this world with this ISIS and these terrible things, that's evil. Just evil, plain evil. And I'll tell you, it all started when an angel said, I want to be like God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. It all started then. I hope to God that you'd be very careful the way you live and that you'd read your Bible and very carefully that you would realize that there's a God in heaven that protects us during this time. He protects these little ones. He protects our children. He protects our teenagers. He protects our adults. Even though you wonder, I don't know what, but He does protect us. And He does watch over and care for us. Thank God, a God in heaven that is a God of love. But He's also a God of truth. And He's a God of life. And that's why He says, I don't want you to serve any other gods. Because I am God. He'll never treat you wrong. He will never get you to do wrong things. He'll always keep you to do right. And He'll keep. And when you keep in the center of His will, that's when you're the safest. You say, but Pastor, what if I die? What if I this? Hey, you know what? It didn't surprise God. It's His will what's going on in our life. It's not our will what we're doing for Him. It's what He's doing in our life. Don't ever forget that. The problems come, heartaches come. You say, well, good night, I didn't deserve this. The Bible says you don't deserve nothing but dead. All the rest of the things of life are blessings. You might as well just check it. Every day you get up is a blessing. Amen. Every day you take a breath. Every time you sneeze. Every time you yawn. That's a gift from God. Amen. Hey, I hope you have Jesus as your Savior, because if you don't, you're unprotected. This Satan, this vile, venomous creature is out to get you. But if you got Jesus, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, hallelujah, it's all good. Father, I pray you speak to our hearts. Thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord God. Help us to live for you. Help us, Lord Jesus, in this crazy mixed up world that we're living in. And we know why it's crazy. We know why it's mixed up, because when you created it, you said it is very good. But of course, Satan raised his vile head. And Lord God, you had to punish him. And because of sin, mankind took of that fruit. God said, don't take it. And they did. And because of that, death has passed upon all men for all have sinned. Speak to our hearts tonight, Lord God, today, Lord God, and help us to give ourselves completely to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd sure like to know that today. I'd sure like to show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Don't let another day go by without Jesus Christ. Here today and you say, Preacher, I have accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I have not followed the Lord Jesus Christ in believer's baptism yet. You should take care of that. That's God's command to you. It's nothing about you. It's all about God. And God tells us that we're supposed to do that. Maybe you're here today and you say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. In a moment, as the pianist plays, I'm going to ask you all to stand your feet, and you're here today, and you say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved." Just step forward. "Preacher, today I want to follow the Lord in Believer's Baptism." Just come on, I'll help you. Let's all stand. If you're here today and you need to be saved, come on. You need to take care of that problem. Come on. Why don't you come? If you're here today and say, "Preacher, you know, I've been saved, but I haven't followed the Lord in Believer's Baptism." Why don't you come? Here today and say, "Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where we want to serve God at. Why don't you come?" Heavenly Father, as we go from this place today, I beg you, Lord Jesus, you would help us to be very careful in the things that we choose to do and the things we choose to say. Oh God, may all we do is for Thy honor and Thy glory. Help us realize, Lord Jesus, we always want to be going down the straight and narrow to serve You better every day. And God, Lord, help us to meet others who need help, that we could put our arms around about them and say, "Son or daughter, I want to help you today. I want to help you." This is what the Bible says. In your life, you should be doing this. Lord, now bring us back tonight to services. May it be a blessing and help and encouragement in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're dismissed.